your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these last two segments, we're going to shift our focus more specifically to some companies that are catching the eye of some of the analysts that we bring on a very regular basis on our show. We're kicking off the second half of this hour with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Now, Brian, look, we've had a lot of analysis on the precious metals week after week, and the problem being that precious metals keep on going lower, and there are so many question marks heading into next year. It's really a guessing game. Not to say that it isn't always a guessing game, but look, the fact of the matter is we keep on hearing stocks are on sale, and unfortunately, many of them keep on getting a bit shorter. So what I want to do here is focus more on the companies that are catching your eye. Because look, there's a lot of resource companies out there, and there are a lot that have moved down. So in terms of what's on your radar here, Brian, care to share at least one stock to kick us off here, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the bigger picture is we need something to get gold going, and who knows what that's going to be. There are a few potential catalysts in the near term, but everybody's kind of expecting or not that excited about gold. It seems that everybody's bearish, and although that would be a contrarian's dream scenario and perhaps, you know, point toward this being a good buying opportunity, and it is, I think it is over the long term, we just don't know what the catalyst is going to be to get gold started again. So in that kind of an environment, if you're in the junior mining game, you're looking for companies that are going to be delivering expiration news or perhaps production news or going into production and represent good values right now. In other words, they have some catalysts that are somewhat immune or not totally dependent upon the gold trends. And, you know, we've been finding a few of those right now that are values. I just came out with a recommendation of Gold Shore Resources. This is kind of a value play because they've got millions of ounces at the Moss Lake project, and they have exploration potential. And they're going to be updating the economics on that toward current gold prices, which of course looked better a month ago when I first looked at the company than they look right now. But the economics are still probably good and good enough at current gold prices, and they've got some great exploration potential. So that's one that I like. You know, another one I like that's delivering news, should have been delivering news in midsummer, but because of the delays in the labs, is only now delivering news, is Cassiar Gold. I own that one. I do not personally own or have any interest in Gold Shore, but I do own Cassiar. It is a company that has great project in BC, and it is delivering some great drill results on two different projects on a really large land position. One that's high grade underground that's been delivering some blockbuster assays, and one that is bulk tonnage, about 1 million ounce resources on the bulk tonnage open pit project. And they're delivering some great assays now from that project that are above the average ore grade. So fairly high grade for an open pit. So those are two that I've recently been very high on.
Yeah, Brian, we've had both Marco on the show from Cassiar and Brett on the show, Brett Richards from Gold Shore. And it seems like in both cases, they have assets underpinning their valuations as far as ounces in the ground, but they're also doing pretty intense exploration activities too, which is that blue sky upside. In the case of Gold Shore, for example, I know they have between their measured and indicated and their inferred a combined global resource of close to 4 million ounces as an example, but they also are doing a 100,000 meter drill program with four right. rigs. So is that what has your attention, that exploration upside on both of those?
Yeah, you'll be hard pressed to find that much drilling being done by anybody, even the mid-tier or major producers. And to have that kind of a focus on a already large scale project. So you've got best of both worlds. You've got the, as you mentioned, the underpinning of a very large gold resource, which gives it optionality if and when we see the metals market take off. But you've also got a guarantee that a lot of news is coming out, and the greater potential, that much meterage of getting some kind of a hit that's going to really attract the market's attention. So yeah, that those are the key factors in that company. And they really launched the company earlier this year at prices that are, you know, higher than where we are right now, generally speaking. So a lot of smart people bought into this story at significantly higher prices. So you can actually get in cheaper than they did.
Brian, what do you think moves the needle here? Because this is a big drill program, and the company does already have 4 million ounces. As you guys have outlined, those ounces right around a gram per ton. Do you think the company really needs a high-grade hit here, or does it move the needle growing this 4 million ounce resource to 5 million ounces, 6 million ounces, whatever that number might be?
Yeah, I think it's good, decent results, hopefully higher than their average grades they're getting now, but a long trend. So you look at the big picture and you look at the upside of growing the resource into something really world class. You know, you want to, in this kind of a situation, always find a potential starter pit resource that can, you know, pay back the economics very quickly. Also, another catalyst for them is reworking those economics at current gold prices. And I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that could help at least get institutional interest in the story.
Well, Brian, just a follow-up question, not necessarily just on Goldshore and Cassiar, but on all these kind of development stage stories where they have ounces in the ground, maybe they've got an economic study out, maybe they've just got a resource estimate out, but there are maybe a dozen or two dozen companies that have massive drill programs, 60,000 meters, 100,000 meters, 200,000 meters, some big drill programs. One of the trends that some people have pointed out over the last couple of years is they've grown their market cap by drilling, but yeah, they've kind of lost investors along the way, at least retail investors that are looking for those sexy high grade hits or really long intercepts of bulk tonnage material. But then when they put out release after release after release, some companies are drilling 10,000 meters a month. It just kind of flatlines and goes sideways. And we see the market cap gradually grow over time, but not the share price. Is there a risk from companies that are doing these big drill programs that they don't deliver enough value to the marketplace to offset the money that was raised to drill all these?
Yeah, that's a great point. We've all seen those stories, and, you know, without mentioning names, but there are a few that really just stick out like sore thumbs over the past few years that have grown their market caps tremendously, but not their share price. Nobody's really benefited from it at all. And they built resources and they built optionality, and they're waiting for the day when that will be respected by the market. But it's hard when you've built up such a large market cap, you lose that kind of torque, you know, the potential to really increase largely. So you do have to look out for that. Some of these companies like Goldshore, they raised a lot of money earlier in the year. They just completed another $10 million raise. And that's probably undoubtedly a good reason, other as well as market sentiment for the metals, why it's sitting here at about the same share price that as it was, you know, a year ago when it came public. That said, they've got a lot of money in the bank now, and I would not anticipate another financing for some time. So that's, you know, should be a good entry point. If you want to stick with this story for a year or 2 years, it should be worth a lot more and have a significantly higher share price a year or two down the line.
Brian, can you give us a little bit more color to in Cassiar Gold? Because we, as Shad said, we have had Marco on the show, and the company already does have a million ounce resource, but they are out there fairly aggressively trying to build ounces here. So this is maybe a bit more of a straightforward story because they don't already have the 4 million ounces in the ground. What do you think moves the needle for Cassiar?
Yeah, drill results. We saw the share price get up almost to $1 a couple of weeks ago on some really great drill results. And they can deliver those kinds of drill results. At Cassiar South, they've got more of an orogenic type deposit that has tremendous upside of high grade and could be analogous to some of the greatest deposits in the world, just doesn't have the size just yet, and has an historic resource, small but extremely high grade resource. We're talking 15, 20 grams per ton type material that can just needs to be drilled with the Truth machine and figure it out. They've got results coming from that resource as well. on Cassiar North, where the bulk tonnage project is, they're following up on a lot of historic holes and expanding a little bit. It's more infill than it is step out, but they're stepping out a little bit. They're drilling some gaps in the previous resource, and the drilling that they have, that they're putting out right now, is high confidence drilling. They really have a good feeling that they're going to be able to deliver some eye-popping numbers, because they've got holes that are on about 100 meter centers, so they're going between them to increase the confidence in the resource. But they have a good feeling because it is a very consistent deposit, that they're going to be able to put out some nice numbers for the market, and in effect not just increase confidence in the resource from inferred and going toward indicated, but also increase the resource itself, because they are filling in some gaps. So I like that, because I'm very confident that they're going to be able to keep delivering good results to the market. They also have a lot of targets on that project, on the Cassiar land position, where they have not even touched with the drill bit. So I think there's a longer term story here as well. There's another project that they have that they'll probably be drilling early in the year, earlier than they'll be able to get back to the Cassiar project. And they like that as well. So lots of news, fairly well funded, some great geological talent on working on the project.
Well, Brian, I appreciate you sharing both those with our audience on Goldshore Resources and Cassiar Gold as two kind of advanced explorers slash developers that are growing through the drill bit aggressively, but also have ounces in the ground that are underpinning them. We were talking off mic, though, that another category of mining stocks that you like are these pre-production sweet spot stories as they're moving into production. And you had mentioned a company to us. Would you feel comfortable sharing that one with our audience?
Yeah, Trigon Metals, they're actually beginning production right now. The share price has increased a good bit, but it's come back over the last month. About a month ago, they were trading, I believe, for about 69 cents. The share price was about 69 cents a share. Now it's down around 44 or so as they're entering production. They should be able to deliver free cash flow, significant free cash flow, on an annual run rate that is around $15 million to $20 million or so. And the market cap's about $69 million right now. It's producing fairly high grade from an existing open pit. It's kind of a rejuvenating an existing project. And they've got about a 60-year mine life at the current rates of production that will be producing this kind of significant cash flow. That implies, of course, that they can increase production rates without much of an impact to the mine life and bring some of that production forward. That's what the company plans to do. In addition, they have some great exploration projects or targets, not only here in Namibia where their mine is, but also in Morocco. So I expect some exploration news as well.
Brian, do you see them as a takeover target because of the fact that they're in some of the jurisdictions that aren't as well known? Could they still be taken over by maybe a handful of the majors that might be interested in those areas?
Maybe, but they're so small right now, I don't believe that they're on the majors' radar screen. You know, they need to produce, or they will be producing, cash flow. And in the near term, which I think is the big near-term trigger, but they need to start proving up exploration potential and resource potential by additional drilling. And that, I think, is the next step that they'll have to achieve before they really catch the eye of the majors. In the meantime, though, it will be hard for the market to ignore the kind of cash flow I see this company putting out in 2022.
Well, Brian, on companies like that, where they're going to have some organic, you know, revenues coming in from their own production, but they also have all these exploration sites. Do you like that kind of a business model where a company starts small, then incrementally grows their production profile, but also possibly they grow through acquisition of their own, or they at least just bring their secondary and tertiary projects into production? Do you like that kind of a business model in general from some of these smaller scale growth oriented producers?
Generally, no, which makes you wonder why I like Trigon. I typically what you find in those kinds of situations is that they're trying to develop a very small deposit and just get in production because it's easy and they don't have to go through a feasibility study and all they have to do is raise $10 or $15 million, et cetera, et cetera. What attracted me to Trigon is that the resource comes from a previously producing mine that they simply had to rehabilitate. Their cost was to do that was under $10 million, and they have been able to do that and have been able to finance that process of getting back into production through some offtake agreements that I think are advantageous to the company. So, and that resource is already existing and already fairly large. They also have about a 30-kilometer trend along a valley that they completely control. And it certainly seems very likely, and the showings that they have along that 30-kilometer trend are very similar to what they already have in the resource. So very realistic exploration potential and size potential as they work along this trend.
All right, Brian, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for your insights into those three companies. If anybody wants more information on those companies or has any questions regarding some of the nuances within the work that they are doing, feel free to email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will bounce those questions off Brian and also reach out to the companies. Brian, thanks for taking time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thank you, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.